was an Gianni. Gianni's oldest, yeah. And then Gianni, and then Howard, and then Andrew. Andrew's the youngest.
Yeah.
And youngest are boys, but then Olga is the youngest, you know.
Yeah.
Olga's the youngest of girls.
And she is she the one who lives in Anchorage?
Huh?
Does she live in Anchorage?
Yeah, she lives in Anchorage.
Yeah.
No, she lives in... she's not in Anchorage, she's in Seattle, I guess, Olga.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
We talked about you, and you came to the United States, went to Boston, or Cape Cod.
Oh, Cape Cod.
And
yeah.
then you went to Montana, Michigan and Montana, and then to Alaska. But I wanted to go from you lived in first in Iditarod.
Yes. Yeah.
And. You lived there from...
Not first, but last. First in Cape Cod we lived.
Yeah, know. But I mean in Alaska.
In Alaska, yeah. Yeah, first in Iditarod.
So you lived there from 1913 to
1932. 1932.
1937
we moved to
Wofford. Okay.
But they started in 1932. We started the mine in Iditarod, 1932. That's when Gus started the mine.
That's when he started to mine. But up until 1932, Gus worked for Charlie Strandberg.
He didn't work that long. Didn't work only that one summer.
Oh, one summer.
Yeah, he went broke. Charlie went broke, you know.
I
yeah,
see.
I told you, I remember.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie went broke, you know. And then he kind of... Then he got a horses and he was freighting other miners,
yeah.
You know. Those other miners he was freighting,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you write that down,
yeah,
I guess,
okay.
Already.
Freighting. I just have to go back and look at my notes.
Alec Matheson and them, you know Alec Matheson and them.
Alex Matheson?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or Hughie Matheson, they used to live in Fairbanks,
mm-hmm.
You know. But he mined in, Alec mined in, he never mined here, he'll... Mining, I did a lot too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he freighting, you know, the others, you know, Gus and then.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you is, when you first went to Iditarod from Montana, had you ever seen a bear before?
No, sir.
No bears.
Well, I seen a
in
bear
Montana?
In the zoo, on San Diego Zoo and Seattle, yeah. San Diego.
Well, when you went to Iditarod, did you ever have any trouble with bears?
Oh yes, I was. I was looking right there. Just a big battle was between bear and me, black bear, and me, you know. And right in the mess house corner, you know, come there, and I was all alone. We had quit mining there then, you know. That was when we retired, but I saw bears,
uh-huh.
You know. Running around the place,
but
you know.
You say that you had just a barrel between you and a bear.
Yeah, a hundred pounder oil tank, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that was when we were all through mining, but I seen bears, you know, around and they were shooting them, you know. I went to see dead bears when they shoot and it like on a ditch, you know, from a camp.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, when I went to mining, they had bears, you know. Right there, close, you know, in, I had to stay, you know, all day long, you know, alone, you know, in the camp, you know, 7 miles from town. And there was nobody, I was all alone in the camp while they were building a ditch, you know, 2 mile long ditch.
Yes.
And I went and I used to go and take a lunch, you know. I fix a lunch, you know, and take lunch, you know, for the men, you know, eat, they had a cabin there, you know. And they eat lunch, you know. And I tell you, I went fast, you know, and that ditch, you know, on top of the ditch, you know.
Did you ever run into a bear?
I never run into a bear, but they had bears eating their lunches, you know, nighttime from there. So
oh,
they were around, yeah.
Oh, they were around.
Oh, and they've been seeing bears, you know,
yeah.
Right all along there, you know. And Dean, I ever go first, you know. Yeah, I took a lot of sandwiches and lunch for them, you know. Yeah. And I liked to go out, and they said, oh, come on, you know, they won't come.
Well, maybe the bears, it's only when they're really hungry that they all attack you,
but they've been
in
that cabin, and I went, you know, and I come so fast back and everything, you know.
But
they never come around that time. But they come later, you know, then later when we were retiring, you know, the bears used to come, you know, and they shoot the, one of those, what they call that, you know, kind of silvery, you know, what are they called, those bears, you know, kind of...
Cyanide?
Did they call them...
Shoot them to kill them or to, just to put them to sleep?
Oh, they kill, you know, because they were, they'd kill them, you know. Yeah, they were those dangerous bears, you know, those...
brown bears or grizzly?
No, not brown, but those... what are they, silver? They call them... well, anyway, you know, they weren't black or bear, brown.
They weren't black or brown, but they were...
No. I know what they call them, you know, but then that's all right.
They're kind of a silver, kind of a cream colored, light colored bear?
Yeah, I know there's a name for them, you know, and they're not,
not grizzly?
No, they kind of vicious, you know.
Yeah.
And they shot one like that in our camp, you know. Mm-hmm. What they call them. Well, anyway, this year. This young bear, you know, that was, you know, the fellas was, they were prospecting yet, you know, and we're going to mine some more, and fellas was made, it was Cassie's nephew, Eugene's brother, Cassie's nephew, another fella, you know, and they were 5 miles, you know, working, and Gus come, stayed there, you know, and until these fellas went to come home and eat, you know. I didn't cook for them. They were on their own board then, you know. We already quit the mess house and everything, you know. They were ready to leave. And so this bear, they went down. The fellas went down and eat. I saw them go down. And then this bear came, you know, this black bear, you know. I was washing clothes, you know, on the front porch, you know. It was so beautiful day, you know, washing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, gee, there's something wrong. And I went and looked at between mess house and meat house, you know. There was a bear. Yeah. And I went in fast, you know. And I went and I got a, right away I got a Deba, you know, tin Deba, you know. And
a
coffee can. I always heard them make a noise, you know,
oh,
and they
I
go
see.
Away.
Yeah.
So I got that, and I don't know, I was all alone in a camp, and 5 miles, you know, those fellas, you know, working, and Gus Stu was there. And then, and so, I went in, you know, but I couldn't stay in. I know the bear could, if it wanted to, could come in, you know, those doors, you know, you know, they can... You know,
they can walk through anything.
It was good doors, but you know, they could if they, you know, if it was, you know, want to. And I went and I went, you know, this around the, you know, around the way he brought it, you know. And this end of the mess house was just like that, and I went this end, you know, and I didn't dare to go that end because there was no escape. I can go to get to house anyway, you know. So I went this end and I looked, and it was in there. And then I went around the mess house, in the front of the mess house, between mess house and my other house, you know, it was right there. And they, this barrel was right on the corner. So there was a porch door to get in the mess house and everything. And this big barrel was right on the corner where it gets the rainwater for washing it. And I went and I thought, I look, you know, it must be somewhere, that bear, you know, I had a house, it's somewhere. And I went and looked and right round the barrel, and there she was, you know, looking at me. Yeah.
Looking right back.
Right, looking at me. And I always heard, and never to run away, you know, because then they, Then they, right. No, you're afraid, you know, you get after.
Yeah.
They always, men always say who been here, some of those, you know, before we come.
Not to run.
Yeah, not to go. Say, stand right still. And so that bear looked at me and I looked at that bear and I had that Depardin can in my hand. I didn't go without it, you know. And I started to pound, you know. And that bear stood there and looked at me right in the face, you know. And I looked at bear and believe me, I wasn't smiling.
You weren't smiling.
So I just pound and pound my tough, my gas, I sure did. And that bear wouldn't go and I wouldn't go. Yeah, and it was just a couple of hops, you know, just so the car gets between our house and that, you know, I could have been, but no use, you know, because, you know, I thought she didn't get after me, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I stand there, and I thought, I wish those fellas come back. They went down to eat, you know, and they didn't come. They went down to offer to eat, you know, the 3/4 mile, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I knew they were there, you know, and... But what's a 3/4 mile, you know, when you
right there? Right there, yeah.
Yeah. So I was waiting, they come, no. And so I keep pounding and pounding, and I pretty soon, you know, my knee's getting stiff, you know, like, and, you know, and so I pound, and then all of a sudden I got brave, you know. I thought, heck, man, I can't stand here forever. And so I went like this and I pounded real hard, I went like this, you know, like this step, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't go just one step, you know, I went like this.
Yeah.
And you know that bear started to move, but real slow. My gosh, he started to move real slow.
Did he turn around or did he come
around? I turned around. You know, when I was standing here, that bear turned that way off from me. And that was a garden, and right edge of the garden, it was willows, you know, and a small brush, you know, willows. And so that bear went real slow and went that way, and went to the willows, you know. And when that bear got to willows, boy, she went fast, you know.
Oh,
went awful
ran
fast. But it come back.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it came back, you know, but Gus was home then, and the boys had come, just as that bear went away, you know. Yeah, that bear went because I'm bound and I went like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, took it just one step, you know, and bound. And, but they went slow. They want you to think too that they're not going to run away, so that I won't come after the bear,
right.
I guess. Well, anyway, the boys come over, you know, from Roy and that Sig, you know, come and I see him, there was a bear, and they always carried a gun, you know, when they went, because the bears used to come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bears used to come.
They probably came right up to where they worked because they smelled food.
Oh, they came, yeah, and they had a gun, you know. They had what the heck it was, you know. They had a better
rifle?
Guns, you know.
A rifle,
yeah. Guns never shot nothing but shotgun, you know, the for birds, you know, .22 and shotgun, you know, for birds, you know. Them, he never killed a bear or tried to kill, you know. He was in the hunting kind, and so they had a rifle, and they. That was loaded anyway, always, you know, when they were in the mining, you know, up there, you know, because they had a bears around. You know, one time it happened over there, you know, that the movie man would give her all the money my guys had had almost, you know. It would have been an awful good movie. Mm-hmm. Went into a climb into a climb into a truck, pickup truck. They had always, you know, went with pickup truck. And that bear went in there. Yeah, it went in there and sat there, you know. Yeah, sat in a car, you know.
Is there?
Yeah, And that would have been good, you know, good movie. And it was in the front, you know, right, right in there, you know.
That
isn't that something?
In the front seat?
In the front too, you know, look out, you know, from the front, you know, just look out, you know, standing up there and look in the front, but it just jump up in from the back, you know, dead, you know, and sit there, you know, they would have given you.
Well, you never shot a bear then.
Huh?
Did you ever shoot a bear?
Me? I never shoot anything in my life, you
never
know.
Never shot a gun?
I shot a gun, you know. That was in Michigan, you know. They were practicing, you know. A lot of young people went to picnic and they were practicing, you
but
know.
But in Alaska, you never shot
no,
a gun?
No, I never did. I never shoot at all.
The only time Gus shot anything was with a shotgun or .22, just for birds?
Yeah, just for birds, shotgun. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, go back to this here, you know, business mine, you know, the so that bear will come back, that bear come back, and as the boys went, they told me, they said, then when they got up, you know, Gus would have come down with the truck that they went, you know, back, you know, he would have come down and eaten his lunch, you know, that 5 miles, and so they told Gus, you know, I got a gun and there was a bear and I was, you know, between, Baron was between me and bear. Mm-hmm.
You guys still busy?
Yeah.
At the time and they want me to come and Rita didn't like it, you know, because, you know, she thought it was nice to live in there, you know, and look after the house. They would take kids and go out, you know, for a longer vacation. And I didn't want to go. I don't know. I said, I don't want the responsibility of this.
Yeah,
I don't want it. It was a huge house,
yes,
you know,
it's
and
a big
staying
house.
In there. Yeah, I didn't want to go.
Well, let's get back to the bear now.
Yeah.
Did they shoot that bear?
Well, yeah. No, they didn't. I have to tell about this Gus, you know. Then these fellas, you know, went back up and Gus come down.
Yeah.
And so they'd had this loaded, you know, they told me and they told Gus too that rifle is loaded, they left it with me, you know, and I didn't want to touch it, you know, but they put it right there in a house, you know, and Gus took that. He never shoot them a rifle. And and he didn't know that was you know, you got to get that, you got to get that out of, what do they call it, magazine, where the load is, in the magazine, you know. He didn't know that that was that kind of a thing, you know, where the bullet was. Yeah, and so he got that, and that bear come back. Yeah, just then that bear come back. And it was right there between dump and the house, you know, and it was just a little ways off where we looked the bear, to each other, the barrel. And we stood right on our porch, you know, and Gus started to shoot, and he shoot. And bear was there and look, and he shoot, and every time he shoot, it's a blimp, blimp. It sounded just like that, blimp.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of noise, you know. It didn't hurt anything. Bullet never come out even, you know. No, it didn't, you know. He didn't know. He didn't know to release that bullet, you know. And my God, and that happened, you know, a little while. And we didn't know what to do. That bear was standing in one place and looking at us, you know, and us. And then pretty soon, I thought, oh, I wish those fellas come down or something would happen, you know. So, my gosh, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Gus didn't know how to do it, but I don't know, I guess he pressed so hard it come out or something, you know, but bang, you know, my gosh, it was terrible noise, you know, and Gus hollered to me, I turned back and looked, you know, and that bear was speeding towards us, you know, right in the beeline to us, you know. And Gus said, run in the house. my God, just then, you know, that bear right there where that he went into brush, you know, and yeah. He was right there, and all of a sudden he turned, you know, and went the same way what he did, you know, yeah. Just a little before for me, yeah. For me, yeah. Just then, you know, and he could read us up, you know, boy, that mm. bear, yeah, it was a good sized bear. Boy, I scared, he said, go in the house, you know, and he hollered then. And that bear, you know, he was coming fast. Gus hit him a little bit. He thinks he did, you know. It was just going down the dump, you know, to look for it, you know, yeah. Down, you know, where garbage was, you know. And boy, Gus said, when that shot went, you know, that bear just, you know, turned around, just all around like yeah. That and headed for us, you know, after yeah. Us, you know, Maui. And he hollered, he said, and I got so scared, you know, when that bullet went off, it was such a devil noise, you know, the blimp, blimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time he ever shot the rifle, and the last time too, I guess. Yes, he was in for guns.
Yeah. But the bear didn't come back.
No, and then we were sorry that we felt kind of bad, you know, that... That bear went so fast, we never seen that bear again. And we felt so sorry, you know, that if that bear got hurt, you know. And so we went in a truck and we went and hunt for that bear, you know. There was all kinds of routes, you know, going yeah. Up to ditch and all over, you yeah. Know, to offer and other places, you know, by the road, you know, roads, you know.
You were looking for it.
We were looking for it and we tried to look into brush and everything. And we were looking all afternoon, you know. We thought if that bear's laying there, you know, we felt so sorry. You know, yeah. If it's laying in there, you know, but we never find it, and the fellas went and looked for it, you know, but they never found it.
Yeah, maybe it just got its leg hurt or foot hurt or something. Then.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I've never seen, you know.
Yeah.
But then that was how the bears come, you know, later then, but yeah. We want them too long, you know. Oh, they come nighttime, you know, and my gosh, you know, the one time it come, you know, in the evening, and the men were working there yet, and we had a man from North Dakota. Oh, he was good. South Dakota. He was the cook's husband, and he was good shot. You know, boy, what the heck? You know, I was just gonna remember that name too. At the night time, he shoot this bear. What I'm talking about, it was different than a bear and a brown and black. So. He shot that bear right in the heart,
mm-hmm.
That bear, you know, run away, you know, and went round, but it come around, went round, you know, the buildings, you know, and come back, you know, when they come back the other mm-hmm. way, and he shot right in the heart, you know.
Killed it right away.
It was one of those...
Well, did you have a big garden there? Did you yeah. Garden every summer?
Oh, yeah, we had a big... We had all the vegetables, all the...
What'd you grow?
Carrots, all the carrots we need. We did buy some, you know, cauliflower. Oh, I had cauliflower some, but not enough for grew, you know. And it was this year, gravel, yeah, and then, you know, it was a gravelly soil, you know. Never bugs, you know, no worms or nothing, you know, in cauliflower that cook, you know. She was Finn girl born in this country, but Finnish, you know. And she said, why, we never had, you know, that we never in South Dakota seen such a beautiful cauliflower or yeah. Anything, you know. It was always worm eating, you know, yeah. And have to put it stuff. And here I say, you know why? Because it's gravelly stuff, you know, yeah. And it was a lot of soil and we had good manure.
So what did you grow besides cauliflower and cabbage and carrots?
Cabbage but we buy cabbage from. They had a big garden in 22 miles, you know, that's Tukatna. You heard of Tukatna.
Tukatna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Penny Twitzel, and you heard Penny Twitzel too, I guess.
Penny Twitzer?
Twitzel, yeah. Penny Twitzel. They had a big garden, you know, big garden, and they always come, you know, but once a week or once or two weeks, you know. And we bought some, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I had all the carrots, you know, I put it so close, those carrots, And boy, they were good, they eating all, and I give to townspeople and mm-hmm. everybody, whoever come over there, we had a lot of company come, you know.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, and that was the time, you know, those salesmen always come, you know.
Stage?
Because a salesman for machinery, different companies from outside.
Salesmen. Yeah.
But not after the war, because they didn't come anymore after the war, because Second World War, because they had this defense started, you know, so
yeah.
they can sell all the machinery, you know, but we had different companies we bought, you know.
You had lots of company in your home?
Oh, yeah.
We had
lots of company. We had, I tell you, summer, it was in the first summer, but we had awful lot of company. Mrs. Fullerton said, I know, why didn't you? You got so much company, you know. You know why we have? Because the drag lines come in then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was always hydraulic, you know that all the time, yeah. hydraulic before. And then when Gus started the mine, you know, his was just about the first drag line that come up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody went to see those drag lines, and the others started to buy drag lines. And they were all meant from other camps, they come and see the drag line, you know, the run, you know, those
so
that kind of boom and those, you know, you see it here too, these machines, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and before it was that hydraulic mining, you know, that you didn't have that kind of
yeah.
And cats, you know, those 8 cats, you know,
D8
and those,
cats.
You know, 8 they call, mm-hmm.
D8. Yeah.
And they went from camp to camp, you know, and then the others started to buy, and they went, you know, but we never had time to go. I never went any place hardly, you know.
Well, did you, from your garden, did you save a lot of vegetables for the winter? Did you have a root cellar?
Oh, I didn't save anything, you know. We went out, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
We went out, you know, and they got some, you know, our cook stayed in there, you know, look after the camp and pile wood, you know. They cut wood, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then they pile, you know. And so when they were there, they wanted to do, they got extra pay from that, you know.
Yeah,
wood. They didn't have to pile of wood, but they were all alone there, you know, family, and they wanted to do that for exercise, and
sure.
they paid different, you know. They didn't have to pile wood. And,
did you do a lot of baking? Did you bake all of your own bread and cakes?
Well, we have to.
Yes.
There was no baker, you know, on Anchorage we could get, but they didn't get it that time, you know, nothing, you know. You know, they started to get, you know, a lot of stuff, everything, you know, comes in package, you know, and they buy. I cook, you know, I cook in flat, I never cook in Orford. We had 2 cooks right away. We had too many men for me to cook. In Orford, but I work all the time, you know. I work all the time, you know, on the garden and I help in the mess house, you know. I knew these people, I used to work for them.
I see.
I used to work this couple, you know, and they were sisters, they couldn't be any better, you know. They were elderly couple too,
mm-hmm.
you know.
What was their name?
Huh? Harry Harms.
Harry Harms,
and he worked in Guggenheimers, you know, in Iditarod, you know, and he had hotels in Seattle. You could be trusted, and he was good manager and good cook. And he liked company. He ever liked company, you know, lots of cooks, you know, don't want, you know, but...
Yeah.
Oh, he was so glad.
So you had to make all your own bread and your own rolls?
You had to make your own bread and everything, you know. Own salad dressing. Oh, gosh, how I used to make that salad dressing. When I cooked first five summers, you know, all alone. He only had 12 men, because,
mm-hmm.
but awful lot of company, you know. Like in flat, I was going to tell you, Mrs. Fullerton said, Aina, why didn't you have a book, you know, and sign the name, you know, and see how many you have in the summer? Well, I did, but there was John Ogris, and they, you know, he wanted to get in partnership with Gus and Gus Tuckerman. And so his wife, she didn't do anything, you know, she didn't cook. They had a separate cabin, you know, but she eat a lot in the mess house, you know, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes, yeah. When she said, I said, I don't want to have a book, you know. She said, well, I do it, you know. It's fun to see, you know, it's so many. Sundays they come, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 and, you know. But we always had a lot of stuck, you know. We have to have, because you couldn't get that, you know.
Yeah.
First 2 summers, you know. The government built the road and Gus had to put some out of his share too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they built a good road and then they come. Two more. So we had 245 one summer.
Visitors.
A company.
Oh.
245, yeah.
What summer was that? Do you remember?
Well, that was one of the first summers we started the mine, you know, 1932, you know, with the machinery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were there one summer with the bears, you know, and
yeah.
Made that ditch, you know, but yeah. 1932, and I cooked 5 summers, you know, and then we had a cook and we went moved to Offutt then 37, yeah.
Yeah, so 37 is when you went to Offutt.
37, yeah.
But this, when you had so much company, that was still over.
That was when I was cooking there.
When you were cooking.
Yeah, that was in Iditarod, yeah.
Yeah.
That was in Iditarod.
So you cooked for 5 years, but you cooked for 12 men plus company all the time.
Yeah, a company all the time, yeah.
So when you had coffee, what did you have? Did you have cake with, do you always have cake and pie?
Oh, I made more cake and cookies. I had real good cookies and I made them all in a butter too.
Butter
was only 50 cents a pound, you know, mm-hmm. And we... when you buy one, but we got it cheaper, we buy wholesale everything.
Yeah.
We buy wholesale, it didn't come 50 cents even.
Yeah.
I made everything in butter.
Well, how did you get your groceries there?
Huh?
In the spring, how did your groceries come into Iditarod?
Oh, they came by boat.
They came by boat to St. Michael and...
No, they came, from Seattle, they came... No, that come in. Yeah, that come in often. But it come in Iditarod. Yeah, it come in Iditarod. Yeah.
On the Iditarod River.
In Iditarod River. Yeah.
The same way you came when you came. To
yeah,
Iditarod.
Same way.
So
but we bought. But we bought quite a lot from. They had a store in Flat, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we bought from them, and we got.
And how far was Flat from Iditarod?
7 miles.
7 miles.
Yeah, and
okay.
Yeah, 7 miles. And so is Discovery. This is Discovery where I cooked, you know, where our bus was.
Yeah, it was a little bit out of Iditarod.
Yeah, but Flat is only 3 miles, you know, to Discovery.
Okay,
but 7 miles from Iditarod to
okay.
Flat and also to Discovery, 7 miles.
Flat was 7 miles from Iditarod and about 3 miles.
Oh yeah, that's just a little matter that between Flat and you know you just can walk that.
About 3 miles from Discovery, and you were living at Discovery. The Discovery claim.
Yeah, Discovery. But they call pretty near. They call Flat, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Flat, but it's in Iditarod. It's just the same, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
How did Iditarod get its name?
I don't know how that how they got that name, you know. I'm sure I don't know. But Johnny Beaton found that, and I don't know. I never didn't learn, you know, how
Who discovered the gold there?
Johnny Beaton and
Johnny Beaton.
Yeah, and but there was another man with him, partner, two men. But I forgot the other man's name, you know, because he was. I don't know what happened to him. I never saw him there, you know, but Johnny Beaton, my gosh, he made money there.
And
his wife, Johnny Beaton's wife, you know, he had a nice wife, and she was Canadian. And you remember that Sophia, you heard of, you know, you don't remember, but you heard of Sophia that went down on the Lynn Canals.
The boat,
his
Sophia.
Wife, Johnny, that boat went down, you know, Lynn Canal, and that Canadian boat, you know.
Yeah, and she was drowned?
And she was in that boat, and she was drowned, and her two two little children, two and 3 years old, you know. And the boy was a boy and a girl. And they found Mrs., you know. They found, you know, Mrs. Beaton. But Florence, her name was, I guess. Yeah, that's what it was. And they never found the children, and he nearly went crazy.
Oh, that's a tragedy.
They never found the children, and it was Neil. The boy's name was Neil, and then the girl's name was Florence, too, I guess. Or was it Laura? Laura, I guess it was. And they never found those two children, and they looked and looked, and my God.
They were about 3 and 4 years old?
Yeah.
And his wife's name was Florence?
Huh?
His wife was Florence Beaton.
I think it was Florence. I don't remember exactly, but it was we to get her all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And she was 7 months pregnant too, you know, and you don't have to put that in the paper,
That's sad.
And she had she took a cold cleanup out, you know, and that went down. Of course, they got that up there, the ones that went down and get, you know, they get that, you know, that was in the safe, you know. That doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
But let's just say, that was terrible. Crime, boy, I remember I was ironing on the World Cup and they went down.
Yeah.
Gee, I just started to cry in the wine that day.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Oh, that was terrible. And there have been so many from my dear old went.
Yeah. They go up the Yukon to White Horse and then down to Skagway.
Yeah, they went to White Horse.
They caught the boat down
Iditarod River, and then they to Holy Cross, and then they started to go up to White Horse and went, you know, and then they went down to Railroad, you know.
To Skagway.
They went the railroad down, and then they went to Skagway on that railroad. We went that way too and took up those Canadian boats, mortise. They're real nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they went, my guys. And they could have been saved.
Yeah.
They could have been saved, but captain wouldn't, because that was American boats, you know, and they were on a reef, you know. And they could have been saved, you know. American boats were by, you know, and want to save them. And they say our company boats come, because they said, we heard that they said that it cost awful lot if you take a foreign boat, you know, to help you.
Yeah.
But they was waiting for their own, and a storm got. They could have been there, but storm got, and they went down. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh gosh! And she, when they found her, she had beautiful fur coat. Everybody had those. I had one too, beautiful one. No, that's the first one I had.
Mink?
No, it's that. gosh, I forgot the name.
Is it white?
Huh?
White. White fur?
No. It was gray, but gray and a darker. Over here, you know, I had real nice and light one.
Was it lynx?
No, not lynx. No, nothing like that. It was a big fur. It was a, what they call that? I know the name really good, you know. And she had that anyway, nice one. And Beaton told us that when they found her, she had that pulled over her head when she went in the water, and she hold it here with your hands, and it was still so tight, you know, hold it, you know, that, you know, they had her get her hands open, when she was found. She was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And
that's
nice. She was awful nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There have been lots of tragedies like that.
And,
you know, lots of ships.
And there were so many. That was in California, one woman that lost her husband in there, you know, but that wasn't right from my little road, but around Nome or someplace, you know.
Yeah.
And then she went, I did a rod, and she went to Seattle, and not Seattle, but to Los Angeles, California, to Los Angeles, and she had a hotel in there.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband went down, and we stayed in her hotel all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you knew the Miskoviches over in Flat.
Huh?
Did you know the Miskoviches?
Oh, did I know them? My guns, I seen all those kids born. Were Mrs. Miskovich once in married yet then, you know. She had just come from 1912. Mrs. Miskovich come from all country, from Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And when Cassie's brother, I remember Cassie's younger brother come back, you know, and he said, "I'm going back, they got such a good summer dog."
Yeah, yeah.
And so he come and he met Mrs. I told you there was a Dykeman, you know, between Holy Cross and Iditarod, and where we have to wait, you know, so we got stuck, you know, in mm-hmm. that one place, you mm-hmm. know, 20 miles below Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So Toivo met Mrs. Miskovich, you know, this, you know, boy's mother, you know. She was in Dykeman coming. Mm-hmm. And when Toivo, they meet the boats there, they went up to Iditarod. She went up to Iditarod, you know, from, she was on the way to the river, Dykeman, the Holy Cross route, you know, mm-hmm. river, or Iditarod River to Holy Cross. And Toivo said that Miskovich, Mrs., you know, came, and everybody tried to talk to her and nobody understood, and she just went like this, you know, and she was so brave and jolly, and she just wasn't timid at all, you know.
Yeah.
And they told Toivo, "Oh, what language you talk?" And Toivo said, "Finnish." He said, "You try to talk to her if she understands, no."
Yeah. Yeah, nobody understood her.
So who, no. And then we came, you know, that fall, that he come in the fall, and we went in the spring, think. Us went March, and mm-hmm. I came here, like, you know.
Well, did she come, was she married to Miskovich right after she arrived?
Not right after. She was married soon after.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after, but she wasn't married yet, you know. She went in the fall, and she was in... she was married, you know, same year, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess that spring, you know. She was married, I think she was married when we came
yeah.
in the summertime. Yeah, she was married then, yeah.
So the Miskoviches lived in Flat most of the time.
Oh, yeah, they live in Flat, yeah.
And her husband's name was, what's Andy and Howard and George's father's name? Was that Peter Miskovich? Pete Miskovich, yeah.
Pete Miskovich, yeah.
And so Pete Miskovich had four sons,
yeah,
and three daughters.
Yeah.
And there was Howard. The sons were Howard and John,
yeah,
and George and Andrew.
Yeah.
And then the girls were Anne.
Eva. Eva's the second child, and George is oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Eva's the second child. She had three miscarriages before she got chosen. She was so afraid, you know, she wouldn't get any children.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she started having one, you know,
yeah.
Then, Eva was second, and then it was Anne, and then it was Olga, the girl's youngest.
Eva, Anne, and Olga. So there were seven Miskovich children.
Yeah, seven, and
they're all living today.
They all living.
Yeah.
All of them living, yeah.
And Andy lives here at Fairbanks.
Yeah,
Andy. George and his family are here.
Yeah.
And Howard, where is Howard?
Well, Howard's been in Anchorage, but he goes back and forth, and he's in Ruby now, but he's married. They all got nice wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They married, most of them married.
Andrew got wed upon in this country, but she's Swedish, he said.
Uh-huh.
She's Yugoslavian.
Yeah.
And they all have nice wife, you know. And Kay is really nice.
Well, you and Gus never had any children of your
no,
own.
No, we never had any.
No children.
I tell you why, you know, they, because you don't have to put that on, but I came to this country. Went to college and through college and everything, and she was real smart,
yeah.
Awful smart and pretty girl. And we saw her afterwards, you know,
yeah.
And she died. She got some sort of sickness, you know.
Oh.
I don't know, some of those sicknesses. I don't know, it was in the...
blood? Blood disease?
I don't know, her I forgot the name of now, you know, but she went through university in New Hampshire University there, you know, and she was living in there, you know, my sister-in-law, and she was taking journalism, but then she got sick and she died. She was married then already.
Well, what relatives do you have living here in Alaska now?
Huh?
What relatives do you have in Alaska? Now, you have...
I have a...
Elmer
Keturi.
Now, he's your nephew.
Yeah, he's the nephew. And...
Now, there's a Utila family here, too.
Yeah, Utila family here,
Eugene?
Yeah, Eugene Utila, that's Gus's, yeah.
That's Gus's nephew.
Yeah.
And those are the two relatives you have in Alaska.
Yeah, I don't have a, he has a, of course, Gus has those red, Gus, I have, then, we'd have to say that, you know, Rosender, Toivo Rosender and his family.
Toivo?
Toivo Rosender, yeah, she's, this, Toivo Rosender's son is married, Rani, you know, married to Judy. She working at, she's a cook, you know, she's a nurse, you know, was in a new hospital here.
And she's
a native, part native. She's a half native, you know, and she lived in McGrath. That's why Ronnie got her, because they're mining there so long, you know, and he got acquainted with her as a kid almost. Judy's a nice girl, yeah.
And what's her last name?
Rosender.
Rosander?
Yeah.
Oh, Rosander.
Just put Toivo. You don't have to put Rani. Just put Toivo and his family. Toivo Rosander and Gus has, you
Toivo
know.
Toivo Rosander.
Yeah, that's Gus's nephew.
And he's here in Fairbanks.
Huh?
Where does he live now?
Well, he lives in Mendes in Miami, you know, but then that's all right. He lives somewhere in Alaska.
I see.
Yeah.
Rosander. And it's
It'll be too long.
Toivo is T-O-I-B-O.
Yeah.
Is that the way you spell it?
T-O-I-V-O.
Toivo.
Yeah.
Toivo.
And his family, Cis can say other nephews and Cis Eugene and Toivo. It gets along, you know, and nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Another nieces and nephews.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be better.
And do you still
not
have
mention everyone separately?
Do you still have any sisters or brothers living in the States?
Sisters and brothers, me?
Do you?
I don't have. I had one sister, one sister, and she died 1920, you know. She had that flu, you know, that terrible flu, 1819, you know. She died 20.
Yeah.
And she never went away from Cape Cod. She'd been there all her life, who came, you know, just
she
before
died
I did.
Flu, 1920 in Cape Cod.
I had 25 nephews and nieces in Cape Cod from one sister. Boy, they had 10 kids. She said, she was here. My assistant's daughter was here. They like Alaska.
When did you and Gus move to the Pioneer Home?
We moved here in 1967, you know.
When
we moved here in, this was up in July, and this was up in July 6th, and I think it was 6th. Do you remember when it was?
I think it was the 7th, 6th or 7th.
6th or 7th, because they were going to open June, and they didn't get ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come from Sitka. We come here 1967, July 16th. Mm-hmm. So we come right after a few days, you know. I've been here ever since, you know.
And were you staying at the Pioneer Home in Sitka?
No.
No, I didn't.
We never been there. And we never been there. We just went there one stop, you know.
Yeah,
I never been there, no.
Before you moved into the Pioneer Home, you lived here in Fairbanks.
Yeah, I lived in Polaris Hotel.
Polaris, yeah.
Yeah. And we lived in Lathrop. 4 winters in Lathrop. And we moved out, you know. Went to Florida, you know, when that fire was 57. That's I wouldn't be sitting here if I stayed there that winter. I'd have burned for sure in there. Mm-hmm. Because that's why the fire climbed up. Right there.
Yeah.
We went to, but we were here when it burned. Just happened to be a Monday morning we went to Florida, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here at the Pioneer Home.
Well, we lived in Colonial 5 years, all those war years, we lived in Colonial, yeah. See, we moved in here, you know.
Yeah.
We had a good mining and come here, you know, with all the right across the country, bring all the cats here and everything,
yeah,
to defense work, yeah,
right.
And all our boys, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, here at the Pioneer Home, what do you do here at the Pioneer Home every day?
Oh, I don't know. There's different things to do, you know.
Tell me some of the things that happened that you went to this week. You're pretty active.
Huh?
You're pretty active. You do many things.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Sunday you visited with your nephew. You have lots of visitors here, too.
Huh?
You have visitors here, too.
Yeah, visitors. But I don't know. I don't... that's what we said, you know. Oh, we go every doings, you know. And then I don't know. I've been doing, but you don't have to put that down, you know. We used to empty the coffee, and I did, but that don't have to be on, you know. We used to play. I used to play they playing that, but I got tired of playing that now, you know, that.
Bingo.
Bingo. Yeah. With any time we can, well, you can say that we have awful lot of entertaining here, you know, They always go play bingo, and I go to she never goes to anything, you know. She never goes to that much.
She reads all the time.
She reads.
She likes to read too.
I like to read too. I say that I'm not going to do anything but I'm going to read, you know,
mm-hmm,
what time I get. But I go every birthday party, and then you don't need to put that down, they think I'm bragging, but I get everything, you know. They don't always ask me, you know, why. I know I empty the coffee, and now too, you know, Gus and I used to empty coffee night time, and I was the coffee pot ready for the girls, and they brought me beautiful sweater, you know, the girls that was here first, not these, any of these girls,
yeah,
you know, anymore, but the first ones, you know.
Yeah, right.
And now we don't empty, the coffee stays there, we got smaller pot and coffee stays there all the time, but
yeah,
I fill the sugar bowls and I help the girls, but don't put that down, you know, I don't want that. But I do that all the time, and they always ask me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when was it that Gus died?
That was a little year ago. That was 73.
Yeah.
What's the matter with me? I was just looking. I'm talking about just 67. You know. Yeah. 73, and 3rd of February,
mm-hmm,
he had a birthday, 10th of January, mm-hmm. and then he died, you know, February.
He was 90? On his birthday?
His birthday was 17th. 17th of January.
Okay, so he would have been...
We were at the same table, 1 year between us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're 91 now, so he would have been what? When he died, he was
1898. He's 1 year younger than me. I was 90 last, you know.
Yeah,
I was 90 and he was 1 year younger. That's 1899 I was.
You were born in 1883.
Yeah, I was born 1883 and Gus was born
1884. Okay.
January... 17. January 17, Gus was born, and I 10. It's 1 year and 7 days, you know, between us. He's younger.
Yeah. Well, Ina, I'm going to quit bothering you.
Oh, that's all right. It's called bothering you.
Maybe I'll think of some more questions.
Huh?
But, maybe I can think of some more questions to ask you. But
maybe you what?
Maybe I can think of other questions to ask you, but
oh.
I won't bother you now because I hate to keep you too long at one time.
Oh, well, that's not that. I'm just fine, you know. I'm just fine. It doesn't matter. It's okay, you know. But I told a lot, you know, that it doesn't have to be on, you know. But,
yeah, but
I just don't like this, you know, my... Yeah. And
about you. Well, I didn't put that on there.
No.
But you have a lot of friends.
Yes.
You'd be surprised how many friends you have.
My gosh, you know, we'd had, wherever we went, Cass and I, when we went out so many times, you know, mm-hmm. my gosh, we went out every winter, you know, we went to Miami or wherever, you know, it's a funny thing, you know. We used to meet so many people and awful lot younger people.
Uh-huh.
Awful lot, yeah. And in Miami, you know, there was from a south, you know, from Texas, and Evansville or something, you know, there was our mathematics professor, and he was a big man. He was there for his ear trouble. Gus and I was only one summer he ever been out in those 60 years from Alaska, just one summer. I've been out, you know, another summer, you know, two summers. But he was one summer out, you know, and that was 1929. And we were in Miami. Gus didn't feel very good. But he got all right there, you know, he wasn't real sick either. And we went out, and these people were over there, and his wife was high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we met them, and oh, they like us, you know, so much, you know.
So
like
Gus,
and Gus was arguing with that woman, about religion and stuff, you know, and she was religious, and this man was quite a quiet, but real nice fella. But she liked the dog and argue, and she said, one time Gus made a man, you know, I don't know what he said, you know, about this here religion, you know. he's not too religious, or not paid to be too religious, you know. And then they were arguing about it, and he said that Gus was, that's true, you know, he'd been reading Ingersoll's, you know, quite a bit, you know. And he said, and she got married, and she said, oh, you got your, Gus was telling her, you know, that... she haven't seen anything, you know, he got his from Luther or something, you know, Martin Luther or something, it's his teachings, you know, you don't know for sure what that is hereafter. And he just argued, you know, for fun of it too. And she said, yeah, and you got from Ingersoll. But see, they were fine people.
Yeah.
You know that
you know them all those years.
Huh?
You knew them all those years.
Yeah, all those years. And you know that they write to us, you know. And I didn't write, you know, back to English or answer much anything, you know. And she said, my gosh, you know, if you ever come, we say that we go in, you know, through Texas. She said, Evansville or whatever it was, we had it written. I bet I got some of her letters yet. And she used to write, you know. And her husband liked to play, you know, he liked Campbell and play cards with the man, you know. Mm-hmm. And I say Gus likes, you know, or he likes to play, you know. And so she write to me and he said, I'm sitting here alone, you know, my gosh. I was just wondering, you know, what you'll do, you know. Gus must be, I know he must be playing cards again, you know.
Yeah.
Just like my husband's out, you know, playing cards, you know. And I'm sitting here and I was just wondering what you do. She was so cute and funny. She was a little bit of a thing.
Yeah.
And we had them, my cousins, they write quite a while, you know, after we never, you know. And they said, if you ever come there, you know, you must come. And they gave, they sent a picture of this great big college, you know. And put a big cross on his window where he teaches. Oh, they were the nicest people, And we met people and gee whiz, you know, they just wanted to learn about Alaska and just talk, you know, like we know them a long time.
You went to Florida then most of the winters when you went outside.
We went to New York, see my folks, you know, when they lived, you know, my brothers and my three brothers. They were in there, you know. My brother was Oscar, my youngest brother, been here in Iditarod. He worked there on the dredge, you know.
I see.
They bring a dredge there the following year, you know, when we went to 14. They built that dredge.
In
1914, they bring that dredge in Iditarod, you know. They had a dredge, you know. They quit that hydraulic. They had that, you know, all big. They had a lot of men working, you know. Riley had. They had, that was a 150 men working in there, I guess, you know, in that Riley's place. They work in two places, then they separated to work in two places, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I work, you know, and boy, did I work 14 hours a day in the mess house there.
Yeah.
14 hours, and I work hard. All